Dear friends, in the Bible, God's self-existence is presupposed. Announcing God as the cause of all existence, the Bible opens by saying, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The Bible focuses on God's revelation of Himself to humanity and on His relationship to us as His unique and very special creatures. In the 19th Psalm, David speaks of two ways in which God reveals Himself. First, it tells how the creation itself testifies to the Creator's wisdom. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. Friends, this wonderful poetic description speaks powerfully of the indisputably clear marks of design. Immense greatness, beauty, and harmony. Yet not all agree that these wonders reflect the work of an invisible Creator. Some correctly point to the imperfections and decay in our world, and it is true. There are offensive signs of disharmony, injustice, and suffering, such as wars, pollution, natural disasters, diseases, and death. Clearly, our world reflects diverse and contradictory scenes. There is order as well as confusion, harmony as well as disharmony, beauty as well as ugliness, peace as well as wars, love as well as hate. There is health as well as sicknesses, life as well as death, and on and on. The Bible addresses such visible contradictions. The first pages of the Bible present an orderly and perfectly designed world. It was put together as the comfortable habitat for the human race. Humanity was entrusted with the entire earth to enjoy it and keep it. For this, we are given the ability to know and understand as well as to govern, preserve, and enjoy. Designed as God's very special creature, mankind alone was endowed with the image and likeness of the Creator. Mankind alone could also enjoy closeness, harmony, and fellowship with Him. Genesis 2 tells how our first father, Adam, reflected this intimacy with God. He clearly shared the same thoughts and conclusions as his Creator. As he identified other creatures and even his own need for a wife, sharing his humanness in the same divine image and likeness. Adam's contentment and happiness were complete. Our first parents had a perfect and lovely habitat to enjoy, govern, and preserve. They needed nothing more. Friends, sadly, our first parents gave in to horrible temptation to distrust their gracious Creator. They rebelled against God's holy and wise instructions. The harmony with their loving Creator was disrupted. They and the creation itself were corrupted. It was exactly that event that corrupted humanity's knowledge of God. It introduced corruption to our mental, spiritual, and physical faculties, and decay into what was first divinely designed as a perfect habitat. Not only holy, almighty, and all-wise, the loving Creator is also gracious. He's merciful and self-giving. He didn't abandon our human race to our self-inflicted confusion, corruption, and twisted knowledge of himself and of ourselves and the world. He continued to deal lovingly and mercifully with us. In his goodness and care, he provided and preserved a clear and more reliable means to know himself. It is called special revelation. He speaks to us and reveals himself to us by his inspired word. David also describes this for us in the 19th Psalm. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." Friends, this reminds us that our corrupted souls need to be revived. It is the Creator Himself who can revive and restore our souls. It is this restoration that enables people to enjoy true knowledge of God. In Psalm 19, David describes God's word as sure, wise, simple, correct, true, clean, pure, joyful, enlightening, precious, sweet, and righteous. This is exactly God's means for warning us and guiding us and restoring us to a true knowledge of Himself and to an intimate fellowship with Himself. The Psalm calls on us to be meditative and recognize what is wrong with ourselves, saying, "Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression." Friends, we are told that our human errors, ignorance, presumptuousness, and pride stand in the way of a true knowledge of God. Our hearts and minds need God's guidance. The Psalm says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Friends, the Bible records God's progressive revelation of Himself to mankind over time. The prophets and the apostles recorded His wonderful goodness, mercy, and love towards our fallen humanity. This came to its climax in the personal divine intervention in Christ the Redeemer. The Gospel of John puts it so clearly and succinctly. "No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." In the words of the Nicene Creed, "For us and for our salvation, he, that is Christ, came down from heaven." Hallelujah.